The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. 16 minutes past the hour of 6. It's the 14th of April, 2026. And this is a platform that we discuss business, economics, trade, and everything that affects our bread and butter. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, wherever you are, wherever you are finding yourself. We are always indicating to you, giving you a motivation every morning to make sure that you wake up and focus on the bigger picture. And there is a saying that if you say you can, and if you say you cannot, you are all right, because you know, it depends on what you believe in. Because if you believe that you can do it, you can stand up and go and do it. If you believe that you are going to fail, you are also right. That's why it's quite very important to make sure that whatever you do, whatever you think positive about yourself, think positive about your health, and think positive about your well-being. And that is the only way that we are going to do it, because your body understand what is called the law of attraction, and the world will be able to give that to you. But if you believe that you are going to fail, you are not going to make it, you are also correct, because that is what you are wishing for yourself. That's why never ever let anybody destroy your morning. Never let anybody to say negative things about you without you countering that, because it's necessary to make sure that you're operating in the zone that you're happy with, and also the zone that you understanding that can be able to assist you. Because there's a saying to say, words can heal and can also kill. That's why it's quite necessary to speak positive about yourself, particularly in this morning of the Tuesday of the 14th of April, 2026. We are giving you global affairs, we are giving you continental affairs, and we'll also be able to give you what is happening, particularly in the domestic economy, particularly looking at also the recent released economic outlook, the update of March 2026. And also to give you to see where are we standing as we are speaking now, and also how are things are going. Also, we're going to look at you at the registrations. So to say, the budget has gone through. The budget bill has been passed, and I also ask a question to say, man, why is only the budget that is overtaking all other bills? Is it because everybody wants to get paid? Or is it because it's necessary for things to move forward? But in many cases, the budget does not it's not really going to be sent back like what has been happening in South Africa, to say, go back and put your house in order. Just being passed with a few amendments. But that is what it is. But yeah, before that, let us look at what is happening. The main news on an international platform is a continuation of war by US and also Iran, particularly after 21 hours of negotiation in the weekend, where the Vice President of United States of America, J.D. Vance, indicated to say they did not get what they intended to get. And also to understand that Iran is still undermanned, particularly looking at its 10-point proposal. And it seems like Donald Trump and his army, or the U.S. Army, has extended its operation, particularly looking at the main global, tension, particularly around the Strait of Hormuz, where the president of USA indicated that it's either in or out, indicated that the U.S. has already started blocking all the ships coming in and out, because they also want to cripple Iran economy, because Iran was making money through this war. Because Iran indicated that if you are passing through, the price is around 1 million per ship. Through the permission of Islamic Revolutionary Guard, you have to pay that fee to pass through that Strait of Hormuz. But in this context, it is indicated that when it comes to USA, the army or the navy of USA have already started blocking all the ships which are coming in and out of the Strait of Hormuz. And in this case, you understand that it's no more about open it. It's about just block the thing that no one is going to eat if we are not eating. And people are putting sand in that food. And you can also see how the global economy is affected. You can also be able to see how the price of oil has again goes up, especially in the international market, to go beyond $100 per barrels, and also to see for the first time when you look at the Mercantile Exchange of New York, you'll be able to see that the gold, which has been one of the best commodity in demand, which was trading at around 5,000 per ounce, it's indicated that it is slipping below $4,700 per ounce, marking a loss of more than 2% at one stage. And that is an indication to you that in that context, the oil market and also precious commodities are impacted by what is happening in the Middle East. And also, the exchange of words, or let me say, the verbal battle between the Pope of Catholic and the President of USA. Pope has also responded to say, after the US President stated that the Pope is not good for foreign policy by condemning war in Iran, the Pope said he's not going to stop advocating for peace around the world. And that is what he indicated. And you know, Pope Leo XIV have been in good terms with US, but when it comes to this war, you see that a lot have been on stake. People are divided. EU is saying we are not coming. France is saying we are not coming. Even Germany indicated that they were not consulted when it comes to the war. That's why, looking at the President Donald Trump is very frustrated by the allies to say, we sacrificed a lot for you, but you are not coming to assist, particularly dealing with Iran. And in the course of the week, you'll be able to see Iran is also preparing for counter due to the fact that you know, US and Israel have already started the bombardment. And you're just wondering when this war is going to come to an end and how things are going. And I remember I was talking to one trade analyst yesterday who said, "No, David, I hear you were speaking about, you know, uranium not being in the trade statistic of February, or not being in the top five. It could be that maybe it's the logistic, or maybe it's the container, special containers, or maybe things were not paid on time. Not really, because the price of uranium has gone down. But I'm yet to see what will happen, particularly for the records of March and April, looking at the trade that is impacting us. Because I was shocked to say, you know, you can't just surprise the trade, the market, just from nowhere. I was also shocked in that context. But let's hope special containers, let's hope it's the logistic, let's hope it's not the price, because things are not how they have been, particularly when it comes to trade. Yeah, that is what is happening, particularly in the international market. Before we come to the continent of Africa, particularly looking at the Malawian foreign minister the Malawian former finance minister who was arrested. As post-election crackdown continues. Let's look at a short commercial break. Then we can be able to come and continue with that conversation. And remember that today we'll also be able to touch a little bit on Namibia economic outlook or domestic economic outlook, particularly that was recently released by the Bank of Namibia. And also to say, in terms of the economy, at what pace are we growing? And also ask yourself a very important question to say, at what pace are we growing? And is that pace of growth in line with our NDP 6? And it's also in line with Swapo Party implementation plan that has been overarching plan for all the policies, particularly moving or marching toward 2030. And also to say, looking at our prediction, is this economic growth in line with what you want to get into? And also putting in mind the circumstances, either it's in the continental platform or at an international platform, what lesson do we need to learn and how can we navigate through these uncertainties and also, circumstances that can be beyond our control on that ground. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue with the Early Morning Scoop.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ikurane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoewe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabweli nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile kumderewa mbura hetatu natu mbali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And before we look at the continent of Africa, particularly looking at development regarding the politics of Africa, it's quite important also to emphasize what has been happening, particularly looking at the division of the Middle East war. To say Europe and USA, the distance is becoming wider every day. When European countries decided to stand on their own, when NATO members also decided to stand on their own, realizing that let Donald Trump, fly alone, because they are saying they are not getting involved in Iran. And you can also be able also to see that U.S. president is very frustrated by what is happening. And you can also see that they also understood the game to say, after Iran is Greenland. They understood it very well, that after Iran is Greenland, that is going to be taken. And they also understand that once you get into this, you will not come out. And there is a guy who has been, there is a statement who has been, at the center of, condemning this war. Especially if you look at, the Prime Minister of Spain. He's been very strong condemning the war. Others were not open enough. Others were so diplomatic at the beginning. They were indicating that no, we are watching the development. And I can remember correctly when the President of EU Commission was saying, no, let us not shed war. I mean, let us not shed tears on Iran. But it seems like things are going beyond the expectation. And Europe decided to stand out and stand on its own. Even Germany is saying they are not coming. And let, things continue. Because they are not invited for now. They are saying for now. In the diplomatic terms, you may think they will come later. But you'll be able to get into that context. But what I want you to get into is the tension between Canada and also USA. And you can also look at the tension between, Spain and also Israel. Because that is, I will be able to tell you that the world is divided than before. And you can also see that even China and USA, they are not in good terms regarding the war, because now what USA is trying to do is trying to block the whole Strait of Hormuz, to say if nobody is eating, if we are not eating, nobody is eating. But that is also raised a lot of fear about this plan, to say, is this plan going to work? Is this plan really going to take Iran to the table? Because analysts are indicating that the war in the U.S., people are not supporting boots on the ground, because we can only overthrow the government, particularly from outside, when we have boots on the ground. And the proposal of 20,000 soldiers is quite less, because Iraq took around 175,000 soldiers to get into there. That is a combination of NATO. But it seems like there are different ways of getting into that. But I want you to listen to Mark Carney. It's one of the strong, it's a powerhouse in global economy. It's the Prime Minister of Canada. And he's the only guy who has been telling Donald Trump straight to his face to say, we are not going to do that. In a lot of cases, it's been very clear, especially when it's coming to Greenland. But in this context, Canada is saying they are no more going to spend their money to support US military. but they are willing to stand on their own. I want you to listen to the Prime Minister of Canada and also understand that in this world, as we have been indicating or used to say, there are no permanent friends or enemies, just permanent interests, even European countries that have been very, very close allies of USA. They are also saying no. Then you understand that your enemy is not your enemy. It's maybe tomorrow is your friend. And that's why there is always an indication to say, because the person that you are insulting today can also be your friend tomorrow. And your friend today can also be your enemy tomorrow. And that is the nature of life. And that is the nature of life. If you threaten the interests of human beings, then they can change anytime, anywhere. Depends on playing either with their bread or playing with their interests. So let us look at the speech of Mark Carney, especially indicating to say the time of sending every 70 cents to U.S. defense is coming to an end.
70 cents of every dollar. The days of our military sending 70 cents of every dollar to the United States are over. Just over a year ago, in the midst of a blizzard, we started down the road to make the best country in the world even better. Now on, for example, with our new Buy Canadian policy, when the federal government spends, we will select Canadian suppliers by default.
It's a mom.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Diana. I owe you everything. I told you all those years ago we'd go places together, and this room is one of the best. Casal, this room, the people in this room is remarkable. Remarkable because of what you did. Remarkable because of what we will do together. It wasn't that long ago. Many of you were there in January. It was minus 20. Doors weren't opening, and you knocked anyways. You were there. You answered the phone at midnight because it couldn't wait till the morning. Vous étiez là à mobiliser vos voisins, vos collègues, vos amis. You were there driving 3 hours in April rain to make sure that every poll had a scrutineer. You showed up again and again for a better future for all Canadians. You showed up because you are all in for Canada.
That is just part of the conversation. But what I want you to get is that Canada is also trying to stand on its own. Remember that it's not far from, you can say, their neighbor with the USA. But have been very strong condemning the intervention, particularly taking over of Greenland by United States of America. And also see that Makani spoke very well to say we are no more going to support the military that is intervening in the Middle East without a plan to come out, because what is now difficult is not about having military power. It's about coming out without achieving your intention. That's why now it's becoming very difficult, not only for the US, not only for those who depend on it, but for everybody. You can also be able to see that if USA Navy have started blocking all the ships which are coming in and out, are they also going to block the ships of North Korea? Are they also going to block the ship of China and Russia? And if that happen, what is going to happen at the end of the day? And are this country going to just stop when their economy is also being disrupted to that extent? Let's wait and see how things are going to turn out. And is that a brilliant idea? Because it seems like Iranian government is not going down. It seems like they are more united than before. And it also seems like even the people within the country, they realize to say, no, this is not our game. But the question is that what is the end game going to be? But there's also an optimistic side, particularly from Pakistan, to indicate that looking at that aspect of diplomacy, one day conversation after bombing each other, after killing each other's commanders, it's not really going to be the solution, but continuation of talking will be able to be one of the reason of ending this war. Because if the Strait of Hormuz is blocked, and the other strait that is connecting the world to the Red Sea is closed, then that is over 32% of global energy taken out of the equation, and we'll see how we are going to navigate through that. And while we are there, we must also be able to understand that when it comes to the war in the Middle East, it's also crippling down the economy of Africa, especially when it has been stated that this slow production of copper declining in copper production, particularly looking at key leaching chemicals that are cancelled or withdrawn by suppliers this month due to the disruption caused by the Iran war. And not only in terms of copper, and also cobalt production, you can also look at in Europe, so an indication that there's impact in clothing industry, and also looking at the expensive garments, and it has also impacted the wedding industry. That industry that is dealing with, wedding, either is deco, either is clothing. But we have to see how things are going to turn out. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at how the government of Peter Mutharika in Malawi has arrested the former finance minister on suspicions of money laundering, abuse of office, and also corruption, looking at that context. And you're asking yourself a question to say that is this it's a political page or is accountability? Because what you need to understand is that Malawi is one of the countries that is suffering economically. I remember when I attended the MTC marketing and branding in Durban. There's one lady from Malawi who stood up. Really, she was impressed by one of the presentation, particularly from Rwanda, and she indicated to say, "No," and you can feel her. She stood up and indicated to say, "Look, we have a very beautiful country, and one of the things that is there is that." Attracting tourism is one thing, but traveling through those roads is potholes everywhere, and you start understanding that it's quite very difficult, and it's also not acceptable for somebody to speak bad about her country when you're in another country. Even yourself, you can't speak bad about Namibia if you are in Angola, if you are in Zimbabwe, if you're anywhere. But that lady's communication indicated to me that even though she was trying to cover up, those things are coming out to say there are worse situations out there, particularly looking at infrastructure development in that context. But also understand that, the current government of Malawi is led by Peter Mutharika, who was at one point a president, and got voted out and come back. Because the center of argument here is that let's remove this leader because he's not performing. But the people realized to say that who was elected was more worse than the previous one. That's why they say, come back. And it's also a question that you need to ask yourself. If you are in South Africa, you are in Namibia, in Zimbabwe, and you're asking yourself a question to say, and you must think very correctly to say, is the problem the leaders or the system? Is the problem the leader or those who hold the economy? Because you can remove, you can put anybody there, but almost things, they remain almost the same. That's why it's indicated that the Malawi police arrested the former finance minister on Sunday on suspicions of money laundering, abuse of office, and also corruption. Simplex Chiola, the leader of opposition in the current parliament, handed himself to the police after, you know, hearing he was, you know, being looked for by investigators. And, you know, it's a rare situation where somebody handed himself to the police after hearing that he was investigated. And other people are also indicating to say it could be another political crackdown, because the former finance minister also happened to be the leader of the opposition in Malawi. It is stated that Chithola was finance minister between 2023 and 2025 in the government of Lazarus Chakwera. That was replaced in September by the government of Professor Peter Arthur Mutharika, especially looking at new promise of new Malawi. And understand that when Peter Mutharika came to power for the second time, at his inauguration speech, one of the things that he stated is that he's going to turn around the country, he's going to fight corruption, and he's also going to replace aid with foreign direct investment, because this is a country that is operating on aid without external assistance. Nobody will be paid in the public sector in Malawi. People are not going to eat. But you also need to look into that context. And remember, him leaving power also 5 years ago, it's also one of the most controversial aspects. There was suspicions of rigging of elections and also payment of judicial officials, but that is a discussion of another day. But the context of the matter is that people are trying to clean up, but you also don't need to underestimate Malawi, because they're indicating that they have a game plan, particularly at reviving their economy. Because if you also look at countries such as Tanzania, last year we were very disappointed by what happened post-elections in Tanzania. But it seems like Mme Samia Suluhu Hassan is also the game in her hand, particularly looking at development. But we are yet to see how things are going to turn out, because one of the interesting things about African countries is that they can have their own weakness. You can say they have their own weakness, but they also have their winning points. To say, even if the country is poor, even if the country's financial system is disorganized at some point, it has also have advantages that Namibia do not have. That's why it's quite necessary to make sure that you learn from other countries where they are doing well, and you also learn where they are not doing well, so that you cannot repeat that same mistake that they have done. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue the conversation. Remember, today we are looking at the slow progress of informality transformation. And when you are looking at informality, we look at the whole sector. Either it's informal economy that has to do with trade, either it's informality that has to do with housing, and also all the aspect. And also for you to come up with your assessment to see, not downplaying the development that have been done also. Ask yourself a question to say, what are some of the changes that happen at your location, at your informal sector, at your shanty town, as they are called, at at your informal sector, what have been some of the development, what have been some of the setbacks too. And you cannot say they are not development, and that cannot be correct. Either is extension of services. We see that if you look at various informal sector, you also see that there are some element of infrastructure development. You find ATMs there, deep down in the informal sector currently. You also find financial services, financial solutions. And you also say, yeah, I think services are coming closer to the people. But what extent, at what pace, looking into that. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
the
of
early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's 56 minutes past the hour of 6. And, you know, we are looking at the issue of informality, the issue of informal, you know, sector, and also the progress that have been done. And to start with, is also to look at the national budget, to say it has been anticipated to say the national budget will not take time to be passed, to be approved. And it's indicated that the Namibian parliament has passed the 2026-2027 national budget. And finance will be released. Those projects, also, everybody is expecting them to keep on rolling. But we also want a report from the previous budget too, especially on how things were done, or is just going to be a continuation of how things have happened. And also maybe to tell a layman to say, when you speak about 106 billion of 2025-2026, what does that really mean in terms of expenditure? What does that really mean? Is it all the money used? Is it still in the progress? Or is it, you know, finance some taken back? And also, what have been some of the achievement with that finance? Because it's up to you. To demand accountability, and also to demand, you know, what really have happened, particularly looking at, budget expenditure. And, we must be very happy, to look into that budget, particularly at uncertain times, because, we cannot afford to delay progress, especially at this point where the country needs, not only money, but also aspect of, financial prudence. And also carefulness in terms of implementation of, you know, financial policies. And look at the context of the need to grow the economy. Because the economy is not growing as it has been predicted 2 years ago. As it has been predicted last year. And the projection for this year. Even when you look at the current domestic outlook from Bank of Namibia, you'll be able to realize that our growth, our domestic growth, that is real GDP, is growing, below 3%, below 2.9%, and understand that that is not a good sign, but it's also an understandable sign to say growth is growth. And the question is really to say, with this growth, looking at the current graduates, for example, that are coming into the market, how is the institutions, how is the environment going to accommodate them? And the first point of entrance, particularly post-university, is the informal sector, because you are coming empty-handed, you are coming knowledgeable, but empty-handed. You have to start from there. Either it's informal housing, either it's also the aspect of, informal businesses, that you have to start with. That's why today is necessary to look at the slow progress of informal economy transformation or informality transformation, and who pose which people will really be threatened, particularly to look at that slow progress. We understand that, looking at various regions, there is an indication that they are looking at reviewing their annual plan. We see various regions reviewing their annual plans and also making an assessment to look at what have happened, what was concluded, especially looking at this is in line with the new financial year. Looking at what they have done so far, and also look at what need to be done moving forward. And at the center of that should be transforming of the informal sector, should be transforming of the informal economy, and also make sure that, there is improvement. And we also see that Oh, they are quite also good development. Particularly at the leadership initiative, we see the office of Angwena governor build a house to one of a disabled elder whose house was damaged or destroyed by wind. It's quite an initiative. Especially looking at the village house that was destroyed by wind, and the office decided to build. And one will really see that when you speak about informal sector, we must go beyond, the normal definition, but also to look at the aspect of decent housing and also services, because there is more than just housing. There is more than just looking at the informal businesses, but also about human dignity. Because if you ask yourself a question, for example, to say, if you look at the United Nations Sustainable Developmental Goals, how many of the SDGs, have Namibia achieved? What about the SDG that has to do with housing and also sanitation? Then you'll also be able to understand that there is a long way to go, particularly looking into that context. So for now, let's look at the short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be able to continue the conversation, particularly looking at, and you also need to ask yourself a question to say, there is, if you go to smaller towns in Namibia, there is always the informal sector that has been there for a long time. It's always the informal sector that has been there for a long time. If you go to Oshakati, there might be progress in terms of infrastructure, but there is always the informal sector that has been known even before we are born. If you go to Okahao, if you go to Omake, there is always an informal aspect of things that have been there for a long time. If you go to Otapi, there is always an informal sector that have been there for a long time. But what progress have been done in those informal sector? If you come to Windhoek, there is always an informal sector that have been there for a long time. There might be progress, there might be development, but at what pace? And is that really in line with where we want to get into? And when you speak about the plans of towns, when you speak about the plans of cities, what are some of the development? You go to Swakopmund, you go to Walvis Bay, you go to Ochivarongo, known as the cleanest town. To what extent has the informal sector transformed? And the slowness of transforming that informal sector, what impact does that have to an ordinary person on the ground, particularly young people and women too, and not excluding men, but in this context we speak about previously disadvantaged persons and the economic transformation of the country. And when you look at the initiatives such as fintech, for example, look at initiatives such as financial technology initiative that looking at financial inclusion, are they really assisting in transforming this informality, either in terms of housing or either in terms of the economy itself? Because there is a correlation between informal sector in terms of housing and also informal economy. There's a link between that, because most of the people who are operating in the informal economy are also part of the informal sector in terms of residing them, in terms of housing, and also in terms of, the environment that they stay in. So let's look at a short commercial break, and we'll continue the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoe ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udon otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa lokumona oijamweli nawa. Ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, it's 10 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are looking at the slow progress of informality transformation, the slow progress of transforming informal sector. And the center of argument has always been very clear, especially if you look at what we do when we draft our policies, when you draft our plans. There is always a beautiful starting with to say, this policy is in line with a global perspective, particularly United Nations objectives. And that is your sustainable developmental goals listed there very clearly. If there is a specific one stated out very clearly, then you come to Continental Affairs, Agenda 2063 of the Africa that you want. Africa that is human-centered. Then you come home, Vision 2030. And at the center of all those, guiding, frameworks, there is always an aspect of human development. Now, that will bring us to one of the very important goal of SDG, Sustainable Development Goal, that is in line with informal economy transformation. Just make your own assessment and take the UN Sustainable Development Goal and look at goal number 11 that is looking at you know, sustainable cities and communities. Just take that goal and look at what it's attaining, what it's trying to attain. And some of the key points is affordable housing. Then you interrogate that matters to say, in every city, in every town that you are in, how affordable is a decent house for a young professional? Because just measure with an average to say, a young person graduated from International University of Management, NUST, Velvicia, for example, with a diploma, and get a job somewhere, whether it's local authority, whether it's private sector, can that person afford a house within your town, get married, and have kids? Just a basic life of an individual. Just a basic life. And if he cannot, what could be the problem? In terms of people living within the town that you are in, how many of them are able to afford houses? How many of them can buy new houses within the range of the 5 years of employment, for example? And if you get into that, you can also understand the aspect of the extension of informal economy. And are we able to keep up in that context? Are we going to keep up in that context? And it's also a paradox of having property developers, having local authorities, having citizens on the other side, where you have people looking for really decent housing, but you also have standing houses that cannot be taken due to price. Then you ask yourself one question to say, if, for example, the beautiful city of Windhoek want to address the issue of transformation of informal economy, want to address the issue of combustible beast being blown away by wind and also water, are they going to keep up with the growing population that is almost half a million? Are they going to keep up? At what pace are they moving? And what is the danger of that? And who is affected? Let us look at Imba and come back shortly.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Stop everything. With fuel prices up, USave has slashed the cost of your grocery bill like never before. All the essentials you need. Groceries, fruit, veggies, baby stuff, toiletries, and a great combo at unbelievable prices. Only up to Sunday the 19th of April. Tell your friends and get to your nearest USave to stock up before Sunday, 19 April 2026.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation, and the plan that has been on the table is always to say those who graduate from university must not go through what the previous generation has gone through. But it seems like, yes, we have done something, but it's still slow. They're still going to feel the pain. And it's really unfortunate that they will graduate at the time of global crisis. And not to make them scared. not to make them scared. We just really need to make sure that when it comes to the aspect of informality, that issue is addressed immediately. What better plan can be come up with? Can we just continue with the system that we have been operating? Can we just continue with the battle in the local authority? The fights in the local authority, where people are not being able to get decent housing, and also better places that they can be able to sell their products. And it's a very good thing that we have a capable minister, James Akwasa, especially moving into that area of either it's informality or dealing with the leadership of local authorities. And maybe somebody will also ask yourself a question to say, if we really want to transform the local authority, can we rethink about individuals that we send to lead those authorities, either it's administrators, either it's politicians? Can we really send people who understand how to read the map, who understand what the statistics means, who understand the ratio of residents to houses available, and who can also plan to say, in 10 years, if we continue to this pace, it's a disaster or it's progress? Because it seems like even those who set the plans, they find it very difficult to deal with informal economic transformation. Because if you look at Rundu, if you look at Windhoek, there is still no clear solutions about informal traders, for example. And in most cases, these people, their operation are not well regulated, and there's always a fight, and there's always unpredictability from authority too. But you don't need to blame the authority. You need to look at the planning to say, when we are at this new financial year that has just started recently, what is the long-term plan that our 8th administration have, particularly in dealing with transformation of informal sector? And when you look at budget, when you look at property developers, when you look at authorities, at what pace are they moving, not only in terms of building houses, but also key infrastructures, particularly in the informal sector? Because when you look at the United Nations Sustainable Developmental Goal, that is looking at a decent, sustainable cities and communities, you also have to include sustainable transport. You want to see the potholes, go to Okuliangava and see that you ask yourself, are people building a swimming pool on the road or what? Go to Okuliangava and see. Go to many other areas to say, are the authority not be able to see these potholes, or is the money which is not there? Which is very, very difficult out there. On top of that, informality also look at the aspect of inclusive urbanization. Inclusive urbanization. I still want to see a stakeholders engagement within local authority that include representative from informal sector, apart from councillors, real representative people that have known the terrain of the informal sector, included in those stakeholders engagement. And if they are given center in policy planning, not only for formality, but in terms of being central in terms of policy planning, and if their voice is influenced. And what we also have observed is that the problem that we have identified is that when it comes to planning for locals, it's the same thing. We want to build something at the village, then you only speak to the headman, you are not speaking to local people. You are not speaking to an old woman who has been there for 20 years, for 50 years. End up making a lot of mistakes. There are case studies of an engineer who studied in London, building a bridge, within, you know, within the terrain that is not favorable, just because you fail to incorporate stakeholders within that locality, because they are the face of those, transformation. Good morning.
Yes, Yombe.
Yes, how are you?
Good, man.
Mm.
You know, on the issue of housing and the young profession.
Yeah.
Look, yesterday most we talked about these things of copy and pasting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When you are, like when you are coming up with a law.
Yeah.
You are not looking what was there.
Mm.
You are not comparing the older system and the new system that you want to bring.
Mm.
Just concentrate on the new thing.
Mm.
Taking what, look, there has been a lot of golden rules that were broken in that process. Look, number one, if you know that it back then in the old system, it was the responsibility of the employer to make sure that there is accommodation for employer. That's why you see every employer has an accommodation for his employees.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mandate. You see?
You are making sense.
You see? That's the responsibility. That's why you say you now power, now water, a lot of flat, the government also have big flat. The other thing that was also was not considered. Yes.
I see where you are coming from. I see.
You see, even the people who were used to work in the farm, even in the housing, look those backyard flats. It was for who? For the employees.
I see.
No, no, Father Ma, you can see the same mathematics. That was the golden rule what was there, and it was not considered in the new.
Who changed it?
No. Who changed it? People?
No. I want to get it to say when what is the act is 92. Your act is what?
23 of 1992.
Yeah, when they come up with that, was it not the transformation, or is it a new act on its own?
That's why I'm saying doesn't matter. The other thing that was also broken, the other rule that was broken, and this is where it comes that people misunderstood a commercial, to commercial things. Look, number one, the municipality responsibility is to provide service land.
Yeah.
That is the responsibility of the municipality. Now you see municipality selling virgin land and also virgin land. Now, if you are an employee, then you have 20 million, and you want to build housing for your employees, you want land for municipality. That land is already cost you 20 million. You understand?
You
left with nothing to build the house for employees.
I hear you.
That's why employees were supposed to go to municipality to say, look, I have 20 million. I want to be helping for them. This is a legacy. It's already supposed to provide, you know, water, circulation, electricity, and all the things. Simple money. Then they get over from there. The problem now, that's why we said that the thing which was changed is to say, municipality now, they want to make profit from sale of the land. But they didn't know that when you pay, how they are going to recover.
Just stand in one place, your phone is cutting.
You see, they could have recovered their cost. If you know when the housing are built there, well, you have the person who pay municipality service, electricity, and water rate and tax, and all those things.
Approved plan, and it's become very complicated. It's so complicated.
No, it's not complicated. No.
In terms of requirements, even if you want to adjust on your own.
You see.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, you'll find that now it's the municipality who makes, because they want to make quick money. The city of Bindu will be there until Jesus comes. It will not collapse. That's why for them now, they want to make money quickly. Say like the land, 30 million. Then it go in the coffer. But that for 30 million that suppose the more houses that you have, the more money that also going, even the business, you know, in the infrastructure, the business that you have, the more people are paying the municipal tax.
So you are saying it's an intentional?
Look, it can be intentional, but you are saying that there's a problem of people who are changing the law without considering the law which was there, the practice was there. Was it working or not?
No, I hear you.
Now we are here. Now we are here crying about the housing the water, housing crisis, you know? But here, it's our own making. You understand? The other aspect also that you need to understand also is the fact that, you know, is the gap between the politicians. The politicians, when they are making these promises and the administrative process that are on the ground.
Yeah.
There is a total gap there.
What do they look at? People were not supposed to be held accountable for making promises, especially you feel very pity to somebody who is, I'm already vulnerable, I need assistance, but you promise me heaven and earth. But instead of even giving me an aid, you give me nothing.
Look,
yeah.
That was one of the, you know, because they say politics, it's a political statement. Some people say, it's a political statement. That's why, it's like, that's why I said that. That's why the only way, it's a fair game. Because it's up to the electorate and the public side. When you know the person said this and he did not deliver, what are you supposed to do?
Discipline him.
To discipline, to punish. How to punish? Not to vote.
Yeah.
To influence the leader.
So,
but that's where I say, look, the other let me tell you one.
But we can also come back to the problem of saying, is the leader the problem? Is it the system or is it the law? There is a lot of complication things which are happening there, because we have seen in other countries.
It's all in one, but one must understand how the system works. Let me tell you, you have now a politician who make a statement. No, we are going to build
5,000.
10,000 houses. But did you understand the reality on the ground?
Just
number one.
Hold on.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
You know,
for
this, so they understand this process on the ground. First of all, you need an environmental impact assessment. That is the first process now. Now, for it to happen, now you need a consultant to do it. When you have the consultant to do it, you have to go to procurement. Understand the fees there. Because that's for fees. Now you understand the delay that will come with the procurement process to say, look, sometimes people will start fighting to say, yeah, no, the tender was not awarded, just understand. You have already promised 10,000. Now you go to the second stage. This is planning now. Planning of the township, the layout, to the advertisement in the what. You still need consulting, because you still have to go through the procurement process. This is where the problem is. Now, most of the local authorities, they don't have registered a plan, down plan. You see? That's the way, even those that are in the ministry, they are the ones also who have consultants, private, company. This is where the problem is. Now we are saying, if now, because because town, local authority.
You need a certified planner, a registered.
Yeah, they don't have this planner. Now, if you don't, then they have to do to go look that thing in the what?
Private.
In the public.
Uh-huh.
Private. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have this town planner in the ministry, they are not doing the work for the on behalf of the local authority. Instead, they have their own private company that will do that work.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
You are being paid by the government. You are also going to be paid when you are doing your business there, charging the same on the side again. You see? Now, on the other hand, now, every day is cost. There, everywhere you go, there is money. And look, you number three, you have to get the approval now from town planning board and they what?
Yeah.
They, these people have to speak twice in a month or something. But again,
when those
approval, they still have to look some aspects to see what is going on there.
Yeah.
There is a possibility that they are not going to approve it. They have to send it there.
And now, and the time has gone already.
Look, number four, you have to appoint, they have to appoint them a surveyor now. The surveyor to get him again, you still need to continue with the consulting fees and the programming process. You understand again?
I hear you.
See, from that surveyor now, you still have to have a submission to the surveyor, to the general surveyor office.
It's a process.
The possibility to be approved or not, it's always there again.
And the possibility for you to lose out on the process is also high.
Manier, from there, you still have to, the thing, the process has to go to the office for registration from the country.
Then you have a plan again, and before you even start.
Number seven, you see, that is where the land servicing is taking place now. That is where the land, at number seven, that's where the land servicing is happening. There where you need it, you see now, you have to contact and see, because you need somebody to service the land, because the local authority has no capacity.
But
you have to go to tender again. You see, you have to go to tender again.
So that
the land can be serviced, water, electricity, and every other thing. You see, now, number eight is when the housing construction has to start. Any tender and the programming. How are you going to navigate in that process?
You know,
these people will really understand the picture. This is where the problem is safe in the system. But when you go back to the old system, all the infrastructure of the government, this process, the salary, the environmental impact assessment, everything has to be done by the government. They're not going to pay anything. Look, if you have now the engineers, the professional who are in government, who have been paid the money, the planner, who have been paid the money, but they are not doing the work. For the government, the work has to be given to consultants.
These are the same people.
These are the same people who are sitting in the ministry.
I want to ask you a question. You have experience in that area. Let me say the communication of 5,000 houses. You know, there was a time the governor of Commerce made a statement of going to build 5,000 houses for the people. Let's put this in practicality to say what is the chance if all the efforts are put there to build that 5,000, because it's part of development to say in the next 4 years, what is the chance of building 5,000 houses for people of Windhoek if everything is in place? Is there any chance?
That's why I said that.
Yeah.
That's why I said.
Yeah.
Number one,
yeah,
those processes that I tell you,
yeah,
you need to understand the future, how long it will take and how much it costs. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of timing and costing there. Simple mathematics and the human capital that are needed. Because everything has to be paid. It's at the cost of who? Mm-hmm. Of the municipality. But the municipality is the local city. Are not, these are the same institutions that are unable to generate the revenue. They have in debt with number one, number two, they have very out of the central government. You see? I'm
asking this question because when you look, for example, energy, people are given houses, they are in hundreds, and you're asking yourself, okay, it's progress, I like it, but in hundreds this time where you have hundred thousand of people that need houses, you see that there's no a bit of pace. That's why I ask about 5,000 houses.
The process is not a problem. The problem is money.
It's money.
Let me give you one example. Why Osona, Osona get that location between Venezuela and Gaza? It will never even take, it never even take 2 years for that whole process that I'm talking about to be finalized. And when you see that the people that are in Osona, these are government employees in Paracetamol and everything. How does the private get it right to do this task?
It's finance.
But the central government, with all the capacity, they are unable.
It's a very strong question. It's a very strong question.
No.
Yeah.
The simple question, the simple answer is, because people are doing business in the ministry, in the government.
but they got all the approval and everything.
My friend asked me,
yeah.
If do you think the private has more money than when the government, no. Then I said that's why we have the whole central government, have all the professionals recruited, paid that we are paid there every month.
And they're doing business.
This work has to be outsourced. You understand?
I hear you.
Because for me, I'm a registrar, town planner, I'm working for the ministry, I get paid every month. But I'm not doing that way. That way I have my own company.
A
consultant company that's doing that work for the local authority. They charge the local authority. That's where the problem is.
Then okay.
Things are not difficult. No. We need to do, that's why I said, we misunderstood the whole thing. Because public and private, you cannot see the difference. The same way you cannot see the difference between the state and the government, you understand? And police government, you understand? The ruling party, you cannot see which one is the state, which one is the government, which one is the ruling party. Everything is like, that's why I said that whites were very clever. When it was the time, the central government do everything for the public. Also, that was the golden rule. You understand? Now, why do they remove that concept to say, look, but then the rural area cannot be. They should have to make it for the public.
Just take. Yeah.
That now all the people came in, they rebranded, they renew the vice what you call now, what do you want more in Africa? So these guys now, what has to be paid? You understand?
No.
They have to close. People, those water, you know, infrastructure. I can remember it was up to almost one email there. When you go there in the big class, it was up to Kwame. They win.
No, there were even this how do you call it? Is it dams or it's not dam. There were some infrastructure also pumping water from wells. I don't know, but that I think South African administration that put those things there.
Look,
but they are now stuck there. Yeah.
Some people will complain. That's what I said. If that old system could be there, let's say another number that in Hazab, and the Miangononoko Congo has happened. That one I can guarantee. The process has to be stopped because of this.
Okay, let's see. The budget has gone through. Let's see that Zankwasa will be able to do.
My dear, I'm telling you, even if you give a budget, but you know what is paying me the most?
Yeah.
The money is given.
yeah.
is there.
Mm.
How little, how big is the money? It's mm. okay.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, what Penny means to say, the money is gone, no way.
No, it's no. I hear you. Even the report, the reporting is what we are also trying to get correctly to say. Can we report on 106 billion? That one. Can we report on it correctly and get it right? Because reporting is also necessary. Because approval is one thing. Reporting and the impact of that is necessary. Because I'll be scared, ne, if the previous budget for last year was bigger than this current budget, but the impact of that, I can see it a little bit, but I'm not seeing it very well, and you are telling me to be too optimistic about this one. You understand what I say?
I understand. That's what
yeah.
I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Yeah. Even when you are in Hussein, look, the rule must be very clear. Hussein,
yeah.
If you have a budget,
mm-hmm.
the rule must say 60% of the budget
mm-hmm.
operational. 40 is capital project. 40
mm.
is operational.
Mm.
Then you will have to maximize now. Because you are saying, because in that there you are pushing people now to push the you know, economy now.
Mm.
Next, revenue correction. Because if you say 40% of, like, for instance, if you have for instance, the budget of 1 billion
mm.
or 300 million.
Mm.
What is the 40% if you put it in the operation?
Mm.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
That 60%? Because in the local authority, that rule is there in some of the rules, like personal rules. Say, look, 35, your operational budget must not go beyond the 35% of your revenue.
But maybe this one is just for us to survive.
Yeah, that's why if you go beyond, they tell you no, you are not going to get salary payment. Go maximize your budget, revenue correction. You see, if government is not now, when you have now all this problem that you are talking about, they are reporting this what address the fundamental first. How can you have a national budget but 80% of it is going to operation? What mathematics is that?
okay, thank you. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe. We'll look at the slow progress of informality. To say the budget is out now. At what pace are we developing? And also, what are some of the barriers that we have learned through? Let's look at top score and come back shortly.
Eshu wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe uyakofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paket. Top score instant. Uyaita pwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe danamibia oshipu nengono lando kashako oko KG mwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilo ngwashiche ndeto esemeso shicha instant totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali efi afanueli otali hulmo milongo natunali mwe amaricha mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano emangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa top score a proud product of Namibi Mills.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
the
of
the Early Birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are looking at the discussion for today. However, let us shortly looking at the update, particularly on the Bank of Namibia economic outlook. There is an economic update looking at global affairs and also looking at domestic affairs, especially in the aspect of Namibia. But to look into that context, regardless of what's happening around the world, it is stated that looking at Africa, particularly the sub-Saharan African economies, it is stated that these sub-Saharan African economies is expected to increase in 2026 and 2027, and that growth projected to strengthen to 4.6% both 2026 and 2027 compared to 44.4% in 2025. In simple terms, it means that the projection of economic growth of sub-Saharan African countries is very strong than how it was projected last year. Now, this is a strong indication also looking at having fastest growing economies in Africa in 2025 and 2026 compared to other regions in the world. Now, that should also come to the context of Namibia to say, where is Namibia standing into this economic growth? And understand that the economic growth of the country, the domestic economic growth, is being defined by, services, products, financial services, activities which are happening, employment within the country, and also expansion of infrastructure, and also the ability of keeping large amount of money circulating within the domestic economy. That's why when it comes to Namibia, it's quite necessary to look into that context. Now, looking at the domestic economic outlook, it stated that Namibia projection growth is moderately over the medium term, following slower growth estimated in 2025. The domestic economy is estimated to have grown by 1.7% in 2025. And also expand further to 2.6% and 2.9% in 2026 and 2027. Now, looking into this context, is really not it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign looking at economic expansion, but maybe also looking at what is happening around to say the projection of 2026 is the growth of 2.6 and also 2.9 in 2027. Now, if you have economy growing at 2.9 in 2027, then you'll be left with 2 years before reaching 2030. And the question of that we should always ask is that is the economic growth in line with our plan, which is obviously no. Then the question is also to say what we need to do, because the current plan, the NDP6, and also Swapo Party implementation plan or manifesto, is looking at when you want to create 500,000 jobs, when you want to expand the industry, you need an economic growth of over 6%. That is what economies have predicted and projected into that context. Now, remember, last year, the prediction was over 3% growth. Then it came at 1.7%. I mean, it has grown with by 1.7. This year projection is quite lower than the last year projection. Could it mean that it's likely to fall, or can the economic growth surprise us in 2026? In this context, it's not a matter of blaming each other. It's a matter of asking a very difficult question to say, what can we do new in 2026 that we did not do in 2025 that can boost economic growth? Because remember, we are always indicating to say, last year we have attracted foreign direct investment than any other country in Africa. The question that we have also asked is that maybe are we going to see that manifestation of that economic expansion based on last year's investment? Or there's nothing which is going to change. Maybe the oil industry is going to surprise us. Because I've also seen some advertisement of around 200 people of who are recruited at onshore recruitment. See waiters and also other people getting an employment. Maybe oil and gas industry can surprise us. But we also need to be realist in terms of thinking. To say, realist does not really care whether you are happy or not. Realist look at the reality on the ground to say, the possibility for us to win is here. The possibility for us to lose is here. And when you are saying the possibility for us to lose is when we are going to do what we did last year. And when the possibility for us to win is when we are innovative, we are fast and effective, not only in terms of implementation, but it's in terms of thinking outside the box. Otherwise, we are not going to get it. And that is a level of operation that we should come from, because when you are looking at things now, the Middle East economy did not yet hit us. The Middle East conflict did not yet hit us, because we put 500 million on the table there to cover us for a time being. But you should also remember that April is coming to an end. Then if that Middle East conflict continue, and we don't find alternative markets, and if I was proven wrong, because I always like to learn from others, particularly the elders who have been in the industry, to say, no, I think the aspect of trade of uranium, we got it out of discussion. I get it to say, maybe I got it out of discussion, but I still want to see it in the statistics of March, because it disappeared in February. I still want to see it, because you say, no, it's not about the price. It's about maybe the containers, maybe the logistic delayed. Maybe invoices are not paid. Yes, I want to get it. But if it does not come out in March, we should really be concerned. Because that must indicate that your strongest performing economic export commodities, if it's hit, then you are in trouble. Because when I look at other countries that are highest producer of uranium, uranium has not been their top export commodities. Even Kazakhstan. Look at Kazakhstan. The uranium is not their top exporters, because they are utilizing other resources, or they are utilizing it somewhere. Look at Canada, which is ahead of us. Even if it's selling to China and other markets, it's not their top exporters. But to us, because it's raw, then it disappeared, we should really be concerned. Good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
No, we thank God. How's life?
Under control.
Wonderful.
Yes.
You must never give up.
No. It's not in our vocabulary, that one.
I love that.
Yeah. No. It's not
in our vocabulary. So never
calendar. Yeah.
gana con quite otro on pega te pega.
No, we come fighting and go fighting.
So now what's wrong with the informality now? Are we transforming it them?
No, we are very quiet. We are very quiet.
Even after that wonderful report, informative report that
report, I still want to see 1% of its implementation.
Yeah.
I still want to see it because the vendors are still running around towns. They are just running. You know that report.
That thing pains me so much.
No, huh? It pains you. You know, go to Rundu, look at the window. The vendors are still running. They are still not in good agreement. Yeah.
In fact, is it because of the old laws that have been enacted all along? These are new laws.
I just do not understand because that report, when it was released, I thought heaven was coming on earth. I was very happy.
Even myself.
Yeah.
Especially
I think we are also not learning to understand that there's a difference between speaking and doing things. We're also not learning. Maybe we get too excited easily. Because
you know what I'm thinking,
I know you're following that. I know you like that that report. You're following
and
it.
I'm imagining, where is this lady who is representing the informal and all these things? And all this intervention, where? Because if they think it's just for stakeholders, to me, it appears if everyone will just say nobody's business, nobody's responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility, and people just leave it hanging like that.
But the lady was talking. Was talking sense, ne?
Oh my God! Even all of them, actually, especially this lady, I say thank God there is somebody who's representing this.
No, it is not the first time. I think this was looking too genuine. Maybe the implementation is there. Because even the current governor said, no, this report is not going to correct dust like any other report. He said that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but maybe it's too early to judge. Let's give time again and see.
We should be assessing every step. It must be assessed because it's a continuous assessment. If you now go there at the end of the day in the last phase, then they tell you, no, things did not go well. We're having, trouble here. Let's see how, let's hope for the good thing.
Yeah.
But I really want to see why are women still struggling? Is it because of the proclamation of 1957 or somewhere there or the new ones? Because you don't even know. Even the police, how do you be harassing your mothers and your wives and all these other things?
I think
the women who are running.
I think the representative is the one who must really be held accountable because you are the face of the people. And what did you do wrong?
And you see people running around and they are giving even tickets.
Yeah, it's the same thing where you have somebody who say, no, David, I'm going to speak. We are going to speak on behalf of you. I'm saying, Chief, what are you going to say? No, we are going to be, I'm representing you out there. But when a person goes there, he's just keeping quiet. To say, Chief, you said you're talking on our behalf. What are you doing now?
Yeah, let's hope and start assessing this thing. Because it troubles me when I see these people running. And,
let's hope for the best. The best is always maybe the best is yet to come. Let's hope for the best.
Okay, so have a nice day.
All right, you too.
Good.
Yeah, it's 8 on the dot. And that's signaling the end of the conversation. And I'm going to leave you the good ends of the Big Mac. From me, David Shombe. Bye-bye for now. Enjoy your Tuesday. See you around.